This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Last month, the Wisconsin State Assembly approved a $3 billion tax break for Foxconn. The company says it plans a $10 billion investment in a display panel factory. Michigan officials had hoped to lure the facility here, and now economic developers have their eye on another Foxconn project. But the senior director of the Mackinac Center's Morey Fiscal Policy Institute says that Michigan should not offer anything to try and make that happen. Michael Lefebvre's blog post for the Midland-based think tank is called Give Foxconn Nothing. Michael Lefebvre, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So if I were going to try to summarize the point you're making in this blog post, would it be wrong to say that Michigan lost the bidding war for Foxconn and that the state should declare victory and go home?
That's a great summary. I think we won by losing. The deal for Foxconn is very expensive, and it could take decades for Wisconsin taxpayers to win back the money from the Foxconn development that they've offered up to lure Foxconn to Wisconsin to begin with.
So is the price tag really your major point here, or are there some other things that bother you about the deal in general for Wisconsin?
No, the price tag is second or third on my list. I think that the top one is that these programs that hand out basically credits and subsidies to multinational corporations and others are just fundamentally unfair to those who pay the bills of government, taxpayers. And it also may very well hurt taxpayers on net balance when politicians bet on the wrong horse that don't deliver but still cost money. They also end up taking money away from public services that could use the money to create jobs and a safer community as well. There are no free lunches in the economic science. There's a famous tagline in our profession. Someone has to pay the bill, and in this case, it's taxpayers, and they pay in two ways. One, by sending money to a treasury, whether it's in Madison or Lansing, and two, by receiving some level of services back in exchange for those for that money. When government hands out subsidies willy-nilly to corporations or businesses, they have to first ultimately take it from those who are paying the bills. And so it's a question of how much in services you're going to get back when you do so.
As you note in your blog post, there was this push for the Good Jobs for Michigan program, and that there was one Lansing political operative who told the press it would be fun to create the mail piece that blames a member for losing good-paying manufacturing jobs to Wisconsin thanks to their no vote on this legislation. In reality here, is there a political consideration for policymakers that if it looks like they are letting jobs go to Wisconsin, there might be a price to pay at the polls?
There's absolutely political considerations. In fact, we have described these as political development programs more than economic development programs, because politicians care very deeply about getting elected, and that means perception is reality. So time and again, they have to ask themselves whether or not they want to be seen as anti-business by not handing out these credits. The fact of the matter is, by voting for these credits, they're actually anti-market, which is far more important. You know, the marketplace has been creating jobs long before governments ever thought it was their job to do so. And empirical evidence from scholars with no dog in Michigan's particular fight or Wisconsin's particular fight repeatedly show that these programs are rarely as advertised. That is, they rarely deliver on the jobs that are promised, and they often cost more than they're worth. In addition to the anecdote that you just shared about the political operative, The very idea of luring a Foxconn plant was used as sort of a cudgel in the debate over whether or not to adopt this new subsidy program. And I think it was effective. And it wasn't the first time this has been done. We've seen this before, not only in Michigan, but elsewhere.
And sometimes states sort of get into a bidding war, right, where they are looking at what another state is doing and they say, well, if they're offering this, then we have to offer that. But does someone in an economic development office have to consider that at the end of the day, by not offering that, they might be not bringing jobs into the state?
And I wish they would. Unfortunately, throughout the state's last large business incentive program, a program known as the Michigan Economic Growth Authority, we saw time and again they were going after companies that were not necessarily the best economic choices, but they were great high-profile, I would say, PR or political choices. Covestint comes to mind. I saw, you know, some email traffic and public discussions about how the state absolutely had to win this company if it wanted to be not only part of the modern tech world, but part of the old automobile industry. Covestint was going to be something of an online auction for automobile parts, manufacturing parts, and that sort of thing. And it was described as this multi-billion dollar victory on our part if we could win it, and we did. And Covestint never collected on a single tax credit because they never created any of the jobs that they were supposed to within the time frame they were supposed to. And it was sold off, by the way, 15, 20 years ago for a paltry sum. So Lansing politicians and their lieutenants don't have this particular talent for picking winners from losers in the marketplace. If they did, they'd be running hedge funds on Wall Street and not working for the state. In addition, they have to factor in something that hedge fund operators don't to the same degree, and that is the politics of it all.
So the Speaker of the U.S. House, Paul Ryan, of course, he is from Wisconsin, and I think he would, you know, defend his free market bona fides against anyone else's. But he says that the deal was needed because it's going to bring high-tech jobs to their state. Should that be a consideration for state policymakers?
I think that states and local units of government jurisdictions have been creating jobs without the help of particular programs for millennia. And so it should not be a consideration, particularly when you consider that you have no way of knowing whether or not a particular industry or a particular corporation is the next big thing. In fact, we did an analysis of the state's very high-profile and expensive Michigan Economic Growth Authority program, and we looked at a range of dates on which they had handed out these tax subsidies and compared them to from the promises that were made at the time to promises that were kept. And we found that only 2.3% of the jobs that had been promised actually materialized in the time frame that they had promised. So the programs weren't that effective to begin with. And that's only a straight-up accounting. If you bring in an economist's tools, statistical tools, to the analysis, they typically perform even worse. We have found that the state's large tax incentive program in two different studies had a zero to negative impact on the state's economy.
So should the state basically end any sort of incentive programs which it has for trying to lure business or trying to convince businesses to expand in the state?
I think the state of Michigan would be far better off taking that position because it would not only distinguish ourselves from most other states, but I think the evidence shows that we'd be better off economically. If you took the amount of money that we were handing out in favors and instead of doing that, simply rolled back the corporate income tax by that amount, we would probably create as many, if not more, jobs with that approach than the one they're currently using. In fact, the Anderson Economic Group out of Lansing actually did a study where they looked at the impact of handing out these subsidies using a model called implant, and then they did a comparative analysis. They said, what if we rolled back the corporate income tax of that time by the same amount of money? How would our model, what would our model say about job creation? And on net balance, they said that there'd be more jobs created by cutting taxes for everyone instead of handing out goodies to a favorite few.
The Upjohn Institute here in Kalamazoo had a study recently done by economist Tim Bardick, and we had him on the program to discuss it. He makes the argument that these tax credits are expensive, so he says that states should focus the incentives on high-paying jobs, and then they need to evaluate these programs to see if they are working, if they are actually bringing jobs to the state. Would you agree with that approach?
Yes. In fact, I've read his study, and Tim Bartik is something of a legend in our field, in economic development research and tax research, so I always read his materials. His study, I think, found that only about 6% of the economic development deals that occur across the country were actually necessary for that expansion or relocation to occur. So 94% of the deals or the expansions or locations would have happened anyway. So we need to, if the incentives are going to exist, take Tim's advice and look at the areas where they may have the highest return on investment and scrupulously review the programs when they are in operation. That is made more difficult, by the way, by the lack of transparency at the state's economic development jobs department. The Mackinac Center has fought battle after battle with them to get data we need to properly analyze economic development programs that they run. And they've put up a fight. In fact, they hire a consultant to put a return on investment figure on the state's Pure Michigan Tourism Subsidy Program. But that consultant refuses to explain precisely how he derived his return on investment calculations. And the MEDC is perfectly okay with that. They're probably happy that he refuses to explain that, and they continue to hire him. So this type of secrecy is absolutely unacceptable if we are going to maintain any of these programs, especially all of them, the way the state currently wants to.
Is part of the issue there when you're trying to get at the records and the figures that these are sort of quasi public-private agencies? So the Freedom of Information Act and that sort of thing is a little murky in terms of what they are supposed to provide to an organization like yours or to a news organization?
I would say no, because in the past, the MEDC was much more open with their records than they are today. They actually used to identify the precise corporation that was getting precisely X amount of dollars from the state. It's much harder to get that information today. The mega program, I think, is going to cost us $9 or $10 billion. It was canceled in 2011, but we're still paying out subsidies for tax credits that had not been used and are only now being presented to the state for payment. And this is one of the reasons that the governor tried to repeal this program. He said, we simply can't budget year after year not knowing what's going to happen. So it's costing our treasury, I think, $600 million this year and $500 million next year. That's pretty difficult to fund schools and other important services when you're paying out on tax credits that four of five studies have shown to be ineffective.
Is this question of business incentives, tax breaks, et cetera, a question of setting priorities? In other words, how much are you willing to spend for X number of jobs as opposed to doing something else with that money?
Yes, it always is. Unfortunately, politicians have repeatedly tried to sell this as a no-cost scenario to the people of Michigan. What they'll say is, without these incentives, the company would not be coming anyway. Therefore, it's not really costing us anything. In fact, they can't prove that the company's not coming here anyway. And in the last debate over the Good Jobs for Michigan program, in a committee hearing, a legislator actually brought up this fact to proponents of the legislation. They said a study out of the Upjohn Institute by Timothy Bartik says that only 6% of the deals you're going to be working with are affected or would happen because of these incentives. So aren't we wasting far more money and effort on these other 94%? And the proponents just talked around it. They could not get over this fact that most of these deals that happened with our money effectively would have happened anyway. And that they're just providing this free lunch or this economic icing for location cakes, courtesy of taxpayers, without any net benefit to us for doing that.
Michael DeFave is Senior Director of the Mackinac Center's Morey Fiscal Policy Institute. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Michael DeFave's blog post, Give Foxconn Nothing, can be found at mackinaw.org. A link is also available at wmuk.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.